I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, saying, "Come and see."
Noise of Thunder Radio with Christian J. Pinto.
Okay, praise the Lord, you guys, and welcome. I'm Chris Pinto. This is Noise of Thunder Radio. Today on the show, we're going to talk about a number of issues going on in the news right now. Probably one of the most significant things happening is that President Donald Trump has now replaced National Security Advisor General H.R. McMaster with the UN Ambassador John Bolton. John Bolton as the new National Security Advisor. That is a huge move. People, including myself, were concerned about McMaster because McMaster seems to be soft on Islam, to where he takes the view that Islam of itself is a good religion, but it has been hijacked by these terrorists. That whole narrative, which is really a bogus narrative. One of the things that I reveal in my presentations on Islam in the West and the relationship with Nazi socialism during the 1930s and 40s is that it was the Nazis who specifically changed the historic understanding of Islam. And I think this is very, very important, because you go study what went on during that whole era. What Germany did was they specifically engineered propaganda that would be favorable to Islam, and they admitted that what they needed to do was to get rid of the traditional Western Christian view of Islam as a religion of cruelty and slavery and barbarity. They needed to alter that view, because that was the view. Why? Because that's how Islam has operated for more than 1,000 years. That's why they held to that view. They'd seen Muslims invade one Christian country after another, kidnap women and children, make them slaves, etc., engage in mass slaughters of whole populations whenever they're able to do it. And they knew from history that Islam is a savage religion that has a very cruel standard. One that's well known. I mean, we've talked about before Thomas Jefferson and John Adams, when they were ambassadors on behalf of the United States in the events leading up to the Barbary Wars, how you had the Ottoman pirates, the Barbary pirates, that were hijacking American ships, taking the cargo and enslaving the crew. And when Adams and Jefferson, who were in London at the time, met with the ambassador of Tripoli and said, "By what authority are you doing this?" basically, the Muslim ambassador said, essentially, by the authority of the Prophet Muhammad, who said they should make perpetual war on all infidels, and if any will not acknowledge their authority, that's what he said, they have the right to take their possessions, make them slaves, etc., and if they die in battle, they're assured of going to paradise. So that is Islam. That has been Islam for 1,400 years. Now, McMaster seems to have fallen into the politically correct view of Islam, which many of us have wondered about, like, how is that going to affect the Trump administration going forward and dealing with the massive immigration problem where these third world Muslims are concerned, and the fact that the radical left wants to bring more and more of them into the United States. Well, John Bolton is you could not swing the pendulum farther in the other direction in terms of going from a moderate conservative view to now a very, very, very tough right-wing conservative view, one that I happen to agree with generally, Why? Because Bolton is the, well, he served under the Reagan administration. He also served under the Bush administration. And he is the chairman of the Gatestone Institute. Now, we've quoted from the Gatestone Institute their articles and newsletters and things like that for a while now, at least for a couple of years. But John R. Bolton, he is the chairman for the Gatestone Institute. So, and they're the ones who spend so much time warning about the influence of Islam in Western civilization and warning about the very dangerous threat of Islam to Western civilization, and that Western leadership needs to wake up and recognize what's going on and not go along with this systematic infiltration of our government, of our system, the buildup of Muslim populations, building mosques, etc., having no-go zones in towns and cities and this kind of thing, just like what they're doing in Western Europe. The massive rape epidemic that is afflicting the countries of Western Europe right now. But this is something that John Bolton has spoken out about for years. But now, if you go look up Bolton and his the fact that Trump has chosen him to be the new national security advisor, some of the headlines from the liberal news, here's just a couple of the headlines and what they're saying. What they're saying is wire. The first one says, John Bolton chairs an actual fake news publisher infamous for spreading anti-Muslim hate. And that is undoubtedly a reference to the Gatestone Institute. That's the alleged fake news site. In fact, we posted a story, a couple of months ago, citing the Gatestone Institute. And our story was flagged by Google or Facebook, one of them, but it was flagged as potential fake news, because now you have the fake news hounds out there working for these massive media companies. Another PR Newswire says, quote, CARE, Council on American Islamic Relations, CARE condemns naming of Islamophobe John Bolton as White House National Security Advisor. So there's no question that the left wing is interpreting this as a blow to their politically correct agenda. But Bolton, he's certainly going to bring a much tougher view of Islamic immigration into our country. He knows the danger. Again, his Gatestone Institute has documented this for years. And in fact, they were the ones who broke the story on how Turkey and the Turkish government is planning to invade the Greek islands and try to reclaim the Greek islands here in somewhere in the next few years. That's the impression that they give. I mean, people don't realize that what the Muslim world is doing, what I believe they're doing, brethren, is they were beaten down and dismantled in the 19th and early 20th century by Great Britain and the United States primarily. Western powers beat them down. Then what happened was they were in an alliance with Germany. And Germany and the socialists in Germany up through the Nazi era encouraged them to become radicalized in the Christian colonies, the British and French colonies in particular, to develop a radical pro-Islamic view and to begin to fight and cause unrest and violent jihad. I mean, literally, acts of violence they were provoking, the Nazi socialists, to overturn the authority of Great Britain and France in particular over these colonies, because many of the British colonies were being governed by Great Britain, but they had massive Muslim populations, millions and millions of Muslims living in these different colonies. But the Muslims, of course, did not have the scientific advancements of Great Britain or the United States. And then once you get into the 20th century, they did not begin to have things like airplanes, automobiles, etc. We're going to be talking on another program here about just as an example, one of the speeches given by Martin Luther King, you look at a speech he gave in the 1960s, he's talking about how the only significant rival to Christianity in the world was communism back in the 1960s. That continued to be true all the way through the 1990s and so on. Islam as a formidable opponent doesn't even really begin to emerge until after 9/11. That anybody even begins thinking that there is some possibility that the Islamic world could rise up and be a threat to Christendom, to the historic countries that were once called Christendom. Nobody really calls the Western world Christendom anymore, but it is still generally seen as Western civilization and generally Christian historically. But nobody thought that outside of communism, there was any significant threat. And that has changed, certainly, from the end of World War II right up to the present day. But it didn't just happen, brethren. One of the things that my research has uncovered is this is all part of a greater plan. The German and Nazi socialists and intellectuals back during World War I and World War II were writing about their vision for Islam in the future is that Islam would become the world power of tomorrow. And they believed that Islam would be a better religion for Western civilization than Christianity. Hitler believed this. There were other Nazi leaders who believed it. And I believe that what's happening is being very, very deliberately done. They're using Islam as a weapon against Christianity. And hence, it's a weapon against Western civilization. It all amounts to the same thing. Now, we know the views generally of John Bolton, who is about to take over for H.R. McMaster. Let's look at General McMaster's views. This is from an article by Breitbart, and it was after this announcement. And the article says, quote, six lowlights, as opposed to highlights, six lowlights from globalist pro-Islam H.R. McMaster's career. And so it goes on. It says, amid widespread reports that National Security Advisor H.R. McMaster is expected to lose his job within days, it is instructive to recall the troubling ideology and concerning connections of the man who has been serving in one of the most powerful U.S. national security positions. Now, Breitbart has never had a favorable view of McMaster. In fact, they've called him repeatedly McMaster of Deception. McMaster of Deception. All right, so their number one issue is that, quote, McMaster repeatedly minimized the religious motivations of Islamic terror groups. That's one. Two, McMaster endorsed a book that advocates Quran kissing apology ceremonies and frames jihad as largely peaceful. Number three, McMaster worked at a think tank backed by George Soros funded group that helped Obama sell the Iran nuclear deal. Number four, McMaster's former group scrubbed, then re-added Soros financing from its website. Number five, McMaster's former firm is funded by Sharia-ruled Bahrain up to 25% of its total income. And then number six, McMaster served at a group financed by multinational corporations doing billions in Iran business. Okay, we are going to go to our commercial break. We will talk more when we come back right after this.
History, the Bible, and the lives of the saints who fought to preserve it. This exciting look into the times of valiant men of faith, such as John Wycliffe, William Tyndale, and Martin Luther, is a must-see for any follower of Christ. Filled with rich visual graphics and dramatic reenactments, A Lamp in the Dark is an epic documentary, a powerful witnessing tool for church and Bible study groups around the world. Share with your church, your family, and friends the untold history of the Bible today.
Hello, I'm Brandon House. In April of 2013, I found a Mountain House distributor and ordered some freeze-dried food for my family because I had become concerned about what was happening in America, our lack of national security, the threat to our power grid. I've been a customer of Mountain House through one of their distributors. But now, Worldview Weekend, as of October 25th, 2016, has been approved to be a distributor for Mountain House. Now look, the key word here is balance. We don't put our hope in horses and chariots. We don't put our security in food and gold and silver. But it is important to be diversified and to be prepared. And if you're interested, you can now go into the bookstore at worldviewweekend.com/bookstore and check out some of the freeze-dried food that you can order. I think people ought to have a little bit put aside, as I've done since April of 2013, in case of an emergency. You get free shipping and handling, and you're supporting the general operating budget of Worldview Weekend. Just simply visit our bookstore, worldviewweekend.com/bookstore, worldviewweekend.com/bookstore.
Okay, we are back. Praise Lord, you guys. I'm Chris Pinto. This is Noise of Thunder Radio. Thanks for staying with the show today. We're talking about what's going on in the White House and the appointment of John Bolton as the new National Security Advisor to replace General McMaster, which, you know, somebody sent me an email with kind of a warning about Bolton, calling him a globalist or seeing him as a globalist and this kind of thing, probably because of his association with the Bush administration. And it may be that there are certain globalist elements to his career. Of course, anybody involved in politics is going to have those elements. But thinking strategically for our country right now and what's best for America and for me, I'm a Christian. I admit my bias is in favor of Christianity and protecting Christian people and seeing what's happening to Christians in different parts of the world. This is why I supported and voted for Donald Trump as president of the United States, was because even though Trump himself is not the perfect model Christian citizen, as it were, he still supports Christianity. He defends our Christian heritage and our history. And he's been faithful to do that. We've seen things. We've seen, for example, a court case here not a long time ago where you had another Christian baker that was being sued over not making a gay wedding cake. And this time the judge ruled in favor of religious freedom and the First Amendment and against the attempt at undermining that by the gays and their lawyers and so on. So this is the reason why I've supported the Trump administration. And John Bolton is very, very similar, as far as I'm concerned, because one of the big threats to the West right now and to America is this infiltration of Islam and the socialist desire to use Islam as a weapon against Christianity. And this is where I think that John Bolton as the National Security Advisor is, tactically speaking, beneficial for Christianity in our country, because it is unlikely that he will support this continued flood of Muslim immigrants into our country. This could have something to do with this new omnibus bill in a strange kind of way. People are complaining about the omnibus bill because it does not provide for the border wall. It only provides for a very small portion of the wall along the Mexican border. But If you research the bill is also said to include financing to build a wall along the border in Jordan. Okay. In fact, Breitbart has a story on this. Omnibus fully funds a border wall in Middle East. GOP and Democrats fully fund a border wall in Jordan. And apparently the border wall is to keep ISIS out of that territory. The thinking, as I understand it, and I don't know, there may be more to this than meets the eye. I'm sure there is. But the thinking is to have certain areas like Jordan maintain stability, that it's in the interest of the United States and Western powers for certain areas of the Middle East to be maintained in a stable manner. Why? Because if they're not, you're just going to have more immigrants coming into the United States and the Western world. And so part of the thinking anyway is if you help maintain stability in the Middle East, then that means fewer Islamic immigrants coming into our country. I think that is the logic. And that may be why the Trump administration has said yes to this, that because now he's signed the omnibus bill. There was some question about whether or not he was going to sign it, because a lot of people are objecting to it, but he did sign it, and this is part of what's included. They've up to $500 million of funds appropriated for the Defense Security Cooperation Agency in operation and maintenance defense-wide, blah, 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 blah. And then it goes on to talk about the armed forces of Jordan to enhance security along its borders. That may have something to do with why he's now bringing John Bolton on board as part of his administration, because Bolton is very, very aggressive in terms of opposing the Islamic infiltration of our country and Western civilization. So these things might be working together. At least that's how it appears to me, brethren. Now, personally, I believe what we should have done, if we were going to fight the war in Iraq, we should have fought the war in Iraq, and we should have done the same thing that we did in Germany, Japan, and South Korea. We should have, once we won the war, we should have established permanent military bases in Iraq, and we should have kept them there indefinitely to maintain stability in that region, if you're going to go in at all, because that is a formula that has worked for other parts of the world that we as a country have gone in and fought and won. Because there's no point winning if you're then going to give up the prize. There's no point to it. And that's how postmodern politics has operated after World War II and after the Korean War. And the effects have just been disastrous. It's why now so many of the veterans from the war in Iraq they're back home. The suicide rate, I mean, they're saying it is reported that you've got about 22 veterans per day who commit suicide in our country, which is just a tragic reality. I mean, if that's the number, if 22 veterans are committing suicide every day, that is very, very sad. It's very, very tragic. It's unfortunate. But I can't help but wonder, why do they have a sense, a feeling of hopelessness, of uselessness, in a sense? I mean, I don't know completely. My family retired from the military back in the 1980s. It's been a long time. I've been removed from that world. And I know that things changed dramatically once the Clinton administration came in, and then Obama. The military's changed dramatically from the military that I grew up in as a kid. But can it be? My theory is that they were sent over there to fight in Iraq and Afghanistan. Then they fought, they sacrificed, they did all this work, they applied all this effort. Then they're brought home, and then everything is just swept away. Everything that they were fighting and dying for was turned upside down because of ISIS and the decisions made by the Obama administration. And so it makes me wonder. And of course, many Americans just feel like the whole thing was a colossal waste of time to go in there like that. But if we were going to go in at all, and I'm not a big fan of the Iraq war, I can understand Afghanistan because that's where the Taliban was. At least there's a logical train of thought. Many people that I know think a much more logical train of thought would have been to go into Saudi Arabia if you were going to go in anywhere. Because Saudi Arabia was provided most of the hijackers on 9/11. The vast majority of them were from Saudi Arabia. And Saudi Arabia has for years been financing radical Wahhabi jihad. And by the way, you can trace the resurrection of Wahhabism back to the Nazi era. That's one of the things that the Nazis focused on, using Wahhabism and inspiring jihad to go and stir up the Muslims throughout the British colonies. This is what ultimately brought about the decolonization movement, brethren. This is why Great Britain lost over 50 colonies after World War II. Very, very rapidly were they overturned in a matter of decades. It's why today countries like Nigeria, the Sudan, and elsewhere, many other countries where we're hearing all of these stories about Christians being slaughtered, where you have the Muslims go down, they tear a church down, they set it on fire and all this other kind of stuff. And people are wondering why this is happening. I believe a key reason why it's happening is because the British Empire pulled out of many of those territories, either Great Britain or France. Lebanon. Brigitte Gabriel came from Lebanon. She's a Lebanese Christian. And she warns about what happened to her country and how it was undermined by the Muslims and they started a civil war, etc. Lebanon, before that, had been under the authority of France. It was a French colony, even though they didn't really call it a colony. But nevertheless, the same principle. But then the French pulled out of there, and look what happened. The Muslims started a civil war. It is what we're facing, brethren. What's happening in South Africa right now? We've got to do another show on the situation in South Africa because we've got updates now from a newsletter and a radio program from Dr. Peter Hammond. But the situation in South Africa is a decolonization movement that the Marxists launched through the Second World War right up into modern times. It's all based on principles of decolonization. That is what's going on, and that is what we are facing in our country. We're facing this decolonization philosophy, and it is the philosophy to overturn the Christian world. So we've got to be in prayer. We've got to trust the Lord. Remember what the Lord says to us, that if we trust the Lord, if we fear the Lord, He will deliver us from the hands of all our enemies. All right, brethren, we are out of time. That is going to do it for us today. That's our show. We'll stop it there, but we will be back next time as the Lord leads us. Until then, God bless you guys. I'm Chris Pinto, and you've been listening to Noise of Thunder Radio.